Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Welcome back. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Bridget Bergen, filling in for Brian today. Beyoncé's latest album, Act 2, Cowboy Carter, hit number one on the Billboard Country Albums charts this week, making her the first Black woman to ever top that chart. And with the news came an outpouring of Black artists, writers, and historians who are all saying that country music wouldn't be what it is without its roots in African American culture. Joining us now to discuss the legacy of Black country music and trace its roots to today's historic achievement is novelist and songwriter Alice Randall. Her new book is titled My Black Country, A Journey Through Country Music's Black Past, Present, and Future. Welcome to WNYC, Alice.
Wonderful to be with you in this historic week.
And listeners, we can take your calls on two tracks here. If you're a Black fan of country music, call in and tell us what about it you love about country music and the genre. Who are your favorite artists? What do you think of Beyoncé's new album? And if you're a fan of Black country music, we'll invite you to answer the same questions. The number, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And of course, we'll invite Beyoncé fans. How much of a departure do you think this genre-bending album is from Beyoncé's previous work? What do you like about it? What's your favorite track? Or anything else you want to say about the news that Beyoncé is the first Black woman to reach number one on Billboard's Country Albums chart? 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. You can also text us at that number. Alice, 30 years ago in 1994, you actually became the first Black woman to co-write a number one country hit with Trisha Yearwood's X's and O's and American Girl. How did you react when you heard the news that Beyoncé hit number one this week?
I was thrilled. I considered it a Juneteenth moment, good news at long last. Because when I arrived in Nashville in 1983 to start that journey that ended at the top of the charts in 1994, Charlie Pride had already been to the top of the charts 29 times and would get to that number one space again. But for the 41 years I've been Black and writing country music in Nashville, no Black woman had ever, as an artist, been at the top of the charts. It was good news at long last.
At long last. You're from Detroit, Motown country. What made you decide to move to Nashville and become a Black songwriter and Black publisher?
Well, I think it had everything to do with being born in Detroit City the very same year as Motown Records, 1959. Because one, I knew about songwriters and publishers from the very early days of my life. My family were friends with a lot of the people in the music industry. So I knew that Anna Records had been founded a year before Motown by two Black women. And after going to Harvard, where I studied English, and knowing I also wanted to be a novelist, it occurred to me that my plan to support my serious novel writing was to be a country songwriter and publisher, because I'd also been told in that Black Riverside music town, Motown, there was a lot of Black genius hidden in country. In Detroit, we never forgot that Lil Hardin Armstrong, a Black woman, played on Blue Yodel number 9, the most iconic country song, perhaps, of all time.
Listeners, I know that we have Beyoncé fans listening. I know we have country music fans listening. I know we have Black country music fans listening. We want to hear from all of you. The number 212 1-800-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. You can also text us at that number. We want to know what you think of this really amazing historic achievement. And what do you think of this new album? Alice, before we get into Beyoncé's new album, let's talk a little bit more about the genre of country music. You write, country music is three chords and four very particular truths. Life is hard, God is real, whiskey and roads and family provide worthy compensations, and the past is better than the present. Can you talk more about these themes that make country music country?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say all those themes are present and work on Beyoncé's new album and on my album that dropped today, My Black Country, The Songs of Alice Vandal. But the first thing is, life is hard. Mm. God is real. The road, liquor, and family are significant compensations. The past is better than the present. That's where the racial fault line often happens in country. In much of white country, the past that's better than the present can be a mythologized Dixie. In much of the best of Black country, the past that's better than the present is a longed for and lost Africa before colonization, often represented by nature, and or it is a childhood where a Black parent or aunt or grandparent protected the child's ego against all odds. Mm. But it's also country music, I like to say, is there's a little formula. It's Irish, English, Scottish ballad forms and storytelling, plus Black influences, plus evangelical Christianity. If you don't have the evangelical Christianity, you may have a blues song. If you don't have the Black influences, you may have a folk song. To make country country, it actually requires those African influences, be that the banjo and instrument, be that the roots of Black gospel, be that the sense of sacred nature.
To stay on the issue of the instruments just for a second, the musician Rhiannon Giddens, who actually plays banjo on that Beyoncé song we heard in the beginning of this segment, has long been credited for bringing awareness to the banjo's history. Can you tell us more about that instrument's roots?
Well, one, I want to say that Rhiannon has done a great job of spotlighting that. She does a spectacular job of playing on Texas Hold'em. And she dropped our second single, The Ballad of Sally Ann, where she not only plays but sings on that record. But the banjo began, precursors of the banjo were born in Africa. The banjo continued to evolve throughout the Caribbean and then most profoundly and dramatically evolved in these United States by being played by African musicians born in Africa, musicians and African-Americans who ended up born here in the slavery period. So it continued to evolve on these shores. And I love Rhiannon's work. And there is another beautiful book called The Banjo by a scholar, Du Bois, that I also love. But gospel from California, Black gospel will have a huge influence on shaping country, as does gospel that is coming up in the Deep South. So there are many multiple ways in which Black influences enter into country.
Well, The Ballad of Sally Ann is what the song is called, and we have a little bit of it. So let's hear a clip of it now. And that's a little bit of The Ballad of Sally Ann from Alice's album that drops today. If you're just joining us, I'm Bridget Bergen from the WNYC Newsroom, filling in for Brian. And my guest is songwriter and novelist Alice Randall. Her new book is My Black Country, a journey through country music's black past, present, and future. And part of our conversation is about the roots of country music and black country music, and also some reaction to this history-making week where Beyoncé topped the country music charts. One of the things, obviously, is a black country music, a theme is race. And you write, quote, "In the world of white country, the past that is better than the present exists in a longed-for and lost mythical Dixie. In black country, the past that is better than the present exists in a longed-for and lost Africa before colonization." Can you take us one step further into that thought and how it changes the sound or lyrics or anything else in the music?
Well, when you listen to Texas Hold'em, nature is there both in the tornadoes and it's also there in the sustaining honey. Mm-hmm. Al Green had an amazing album, Bell, where we see nature celebrated over and over. This is a place where we find that African sense of sacred place present in country. And another group of people that are going to bring in that influence strongly are, we forget about the 19th century black and brown cowboys of the American West. And cowboy music has a strong component of songwriting and song singing. But people forget that 20 to 30% of cowboys were black and brown, and they were living very close to nature and reporting on it, but they were influenced by their own experiences with grandparents and parents, some of whom had come from directly from Africa, which is a large continent with many religions, but many of them celebrate a sense of sacred nature and sacred place that impacts country.
I want to bring in some of our listeners. Let's start with Sunny in New Mexico. Sunny, thanks for listening and thanks for calling.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me? Okay, awesome. I'm a Navajo woman who used to love country music, and lately I've just noticed that the Nashville music machine, I think it's like an industrial complex now, has just produced music I cannot relate to anymore. And so it's really sad to hear the state of country music. It no longer reflects me, and it just seems to grandiose and celebrate heart, like the alcohol industry, so to speak. And I'm really proud of Beyoncé doing what she's doing. I listened to her music on YouTube, and I thought it was about Jolene, the song, and how you know, it wasn't reflecting what Dolly Parton sang. And then I listened to it, and then I just kind of said, it's the same. This is the same kind of whatever Dolly was inflecting in Jolene is the same thing that Beyoncé is redefining for this current age. And I now listen to classic rock and roll because I think that's the new country music.
Sunny, thank you for your call and your perspective. A bit of a country music critique there, Alice. Any reaction to that?
Well, I think, for example, that Alison Russell, who's on this album, has a beautiful song called Persephone, which I consider and talk about in my book as one of the new additions to the country canon. Persephone is a song about a girl who is being abused and finds shelter in her young girl lover's bed. Mm. It's a redemptive song. It's stone country, and it's old as the Greek myth that it is partially named for. So to me, actually, in the time I've been here, 41 years, when I got here, they used to say it was a young man's town. Today, I say it's a wild woman's town.
Oh, I like
that. That the machine is being renovated. And it's not, I adore Beyoncé, and I love the family reunion moment that is this album. But this album that dropped today, My Black Country, has we started making it over 3 years ago, and Ebony Smith is a producer, but it's all amazing Black and brown women. It's Layla Michaela singing about small towns being smaller for girls. Mm. It's Adia Victoria singing the song about the Black female cowboy, but it's Rhiannon and that song about actually a man who's lynched between his wedding and his reception. Ugh. And his wife being the embodied resistance and witness. So I think Nashville is reinventing itself in this moment, and has been since about 2006, 2007, as a wild woman's town, and very grown up stories about actual pain, domestic violence, transcendence and beauty, and of joy being radical.
A wild woman's town.
A woman's story. Mm. It's a wild woman's. One of the songs on this album is Big Dream. And that song goes way back in the 20th century. But it said way back then, it was a country song, makes me think maybe God's a woman too. Makes me think God's a woman too. Mm. So I hope that your listeners will listen to the deeper cuts. And I couldn't believe I woke up this morning and this new album of ours, it's all feminist country. It was in some kind of top 10. It's right out there. But country, Loretta Lynn and Dolly Parton, part of what drove me to Nashville, the main thing was the Black genius embedded, Lil Hardin, what she was doing. But Dolly Parton and Loretta Lynn were telling stories about women going through hard times way back then, and about they were political, and they were inspiring to me. Roseanne Cash was this extraordinary. She's gone up to the top of the charts 11 times, talking about take the clothes, the baby and the clothes on your back. When that wasn't happening in rock and roll music, I will call out rock and roll that it has not told the same kind of stories about how women make it through the day and how you don't stop being important when some man stops chasing you, that life is something that we get reborn into I say we make same like we make a bed every day. And that's pure Stone Country saying. Mm. You make same like you make a bed every day.
You've talked a little bit about the difference between Black country and Black blues. I wonder if you could just tell us briefly what you think, how these styles are different.
Blues is an extremely important roots music, and it's a root of country, it's a root of rock. But blues, to me, reductively, narrates hell on earth. Mm. Country, because of the evangelical Christianity that is part of it, that's baked into it, has hope. It has hope of the old Black gospel song, Welcome Table. I'm going to tell Jesus how you done me. It's almost like therapy in that sense. It believes there is a narrative, there's a next step that will get you beyond hell and earth. And it believes that your enemies are being relegated to some fiery pit. And I've always loved that. I said my childhood was too hard for me to enjoy the blues, although there's some great blues singers and artists that I do adore. Hmm. I needed the country. I needed the Black country that promised I could make tomorrow better than today.
Wow. Alice Randall, this has been such a pleasure to speak with you. I'm grateful that you were in the Wild Woman's Town and helping remake it. We're going to have to leave it there for now. Alice Randall is a novelist and songwriter, most recently author of My Black Country, A Journey Through Country Music's Black Past, Present, and Future. And she's got a new album of the same name that is out today. Alice, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. I hope all of our friends in New York will help rediscover and make Nashville truly a wild woman town right now.
Me too. The Brian Lehrer Show's producers are Lisa Allison, Mary Croak, Amina Serna, Carl Boiserand, and Esperanza Rosenbaum. Our intern is Ethlyn Daniel Schurz. Zach Goddard-Cohen takes care of the podcast. Megan Ryan is the head of live radio. Juliana Fonda and Milton Ruiz are at the studio controls. I'm Bridget Bergen. This is The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening.